a chance to gain first-hand knowledge of Islam by reading important Islamic literature alongside me. A lot of times we don't have time to read it ourselves, so this is a way that you can listen in and you can join in through someone else's voice. And so currently the first book that we are reading is called Stories of the Prophets. We are actually on chapter number 5 of this book, and the 5th chapter is on the story of Saleh alayhi salam. Nabi Saleh alayhi salam. So this book is written by Imam Ibn Kathir, who passed away in 774 AH. Can everybody hear me properly? I'm getting weird notifications on my Instagram. Okay, good, excellent. Okay, nice. So we're going to start the story of Saleh alayhi salam. So Imam Ibn Kathir says, after the destruction of the Ad, the tribe of Thamud succeeded them in power and glory. They also fell to idol worshipping. As their material wealth increased, so too did their evil ways, while their virtue decreased. Like the people of Ad, they erected huge buildings on the plains and hewed beautiful homes out of the hills. But tyranny and oppression became prevalent over time as evil men started ruling the land. Injustice men. So Allah sent unto him his prophet Saleh alayhi salam, a man from amongst them. His name was Saleh ibn Ubaid ibn Masih, the son of Ubaid, who was the son of Hadr, who was the son of Thamud, who was the son of Aether, who was the son of Aram, who was the son of Noah alayhi salam. So I think that is the 7th generation from Noah alayhi salam. Noah alayhi salam. He called his people to worship Allah alone and to not associate partners with him. While some of them believed him, the majority of them disbelieved and harmed him by both words and deeds. And Saleh directed them. Saleh said to them in the Holy Quran, O my people, worship Allah. You have no other ilah. You have no other God but him. Saleh was known for his wisdom, his purity, and goodness, and had been greatly respected by his people before Allah's revelation even came to him. Saleh's people said to him, O Saleh, you have been among us as a good figure of good hope, and we wish for you to be our chief until this new thing which you have brought, that we leave our gods and worship your God alone. Do you now forbid us the worship of what our fathers have worshipped? But we are really in grave doubt as to that which you invite us to monotheism, to the worship of only one God. They merely wanted to worship the same God as their fathers had, with no reason, no proof, no thought. The proof of Saleh's message was evident, but despite this, it was obvious that most of his people did not believe him. They doubted his words, thinking that he was charmed, he was magicked, and they saw that he would not stop preaching. Fearing that his followers would increase, they tried to put him off by assigning him an important task, to prove that he was a messenger of Allah by performing a miracle. Let a unique she-camel come from the mountains. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted Saleh this miracle, and a huge, unique she-camel appeared from the direction of the mountains. So a camel came from the direction from within, like rock, within like where a living thing couldn't come out of, essentially. And a camel came out of it, and the camel was extremely unique, exactly to their specifications. So they set up like random specifications. Let it be this big, let it be this color, let it be this size, whatever, etc., 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 all these specifications. And that's exactly the type of camel that came up. And so that was the miracle of Saleh alayhi salam. The Quranic commentator said that the people of Thamud gathered on a certain day at a meeting place, and the Prophet Saleh alayhi salam came and addressed them to believe in Allah, reminding them of the favors that Allah had granted them. Then, pointing at a rock, they demanded, "Ask your Lord to make a she-camel, which must be 10 months pregnant, tall, and attractive, and issue it from that rock to us." Saleh replied, "Look now. If Allah sends you what you have requested, just as you have described, will you believe in that which I have come to you with, and have faith in the message that I was sent with? And they answered, yes. So he took a vow from them on this, and then prayed to Allah the Almighty to grant their request. Allah ordered the distant rock to split asunder, bringing forth a great 10-month pregnant she-camel. When their eyes set to it, they were amazed. They saw a thing, a wonderful sight, dazzling power, and clear evidence. A number of Salih's people then converted. They believed, yet most of them continued in their disbelief, in their stubbornness, and they went astray. Allah Almighty said, and we sent the she-camel to Thamud as a clear sign, but they did her wrong. And also, really, the dwellers of Hijr. Hijr is an Arabic word that means rock. So probably the dwellers of the place where there was a lot of rocks, like a rocky place. The dwellers of Hijr denied the messengers, and we gave them our signs, but they were averse to them. There are a number of ancient accounts of this she-camel and its miracle nature. It was said that the she-camel was miraculous because a rock in the mountain split open and it came forth from it, followed by its young offspring. Other accounts said that the she-camel used to drink all the water in the wells in one day, and no other animals could approach the water. Still, others claim that the she-camel produced milk sufficient for all of the people of that tribe to drink on the same day that it drank all the water, leaving none for them. At first, the people of Thamud were greatly surprised when the she-camel issued from the mountain rocks. Sorry, my cat is in the way of things, as usual. So at first, basically, the people of Thamud were greatly surprised. And then it became prevalent to them that this wasn't an ordinary she-camel, that it was blessed. There was something special about it. If it slept in a place, that place was abandoned by other animals. And it was obvious that it was not ordinary. And it lived among Salih's people, some of whom believed in Allah, while majority continued in obstinacy and disbelief. And so this was a sign from Allah. This was a very special camel. It's not like a normal camel. There's something very special about it. There's miracles that happen around the camel itself. It's a sign of Allah. It's sent from Allah for a special purpose, for a special reason. So this is something we all need to keep in our mind as the story continues. So the people, their hatred of Salih turned towards the blessed she-camel and became centered on it. And a conspiracy started to be hatched against the camels by the disbelievers, and they secretly plotted against it. Salih feared that they might kill the camel, and so he warned them. O my people, this she-camel of Allah is a sign to you. Leave her to feed on Allah's earth, and touch her not with evil, lest a near torment will seize you. For a while, Salih's people let the camel graze and drink freely, but in their hearts they hated it. However, the miraculous appearance of the unique camel caused many to become Salih's followers, and they clung to their belief in Allah. The disbelievers now began complaining that this huge she-camel, with its unusual qualities, drank most of the water, and it frightened their camels or their cattle. They laid a plot to kill the camel, and sought the help of their womenfolk to tempt the men to carry out their commands. Saduq bint of Mahia, who was from a rich and noble family, offered herself to a young man named Masrai ibn Mahraj on the condition that he hamstring the camel. And Aniza, an old woman, offered one of her daughters to a young man, Kudar, in return for killing the camel. Naturally, these young men were tempted, and so they set about finding seven others to assist them. They watched the camel closely, observing all of its movements. And as the she-camel came to drink at the well, Masrai shot it in the leg with an arrow. It tried to escape, but was hampered by the arrow. And Kudar followed the camel and struck it with a sword in the other leg. As it fell to the ground, he pierced it with his sword. The killers were given a hero's welcome, cheered with songs and poetry composed in their praise. In their arrogance, they mocked Salih, but he warned them. enjoy life for thee for just a couple more days, for 3 more days, and the punishment will descend upon you. Saleh was hoping that they would see the folly of their ways and change their attitude, and that's why those 3 days were given to them. Why 3 days, they asked. Let the punishment come as quickly as possible. And he pleaded to them, my people, why do you hasten to evil rather than good? Why do you not ask pardon of Allah so that you may receive mercy? And they replied, we see our presence and that of your followers as bringing evil unto us. And so Allah Almighty related their story. And indeed we sent to Thamud their brother Saleh, saying, worship Allah alone and none else. Then look, they became 2 parties, believers and disbelievers, quarreling with each other. And he said, O my people, why do you seek to hasten the evil before the good? Why seek you not the forgiveness of Allah that you may receive mercy? And they said, we augur ill omen from you and those with you. And he said, your ill omen is with Allah, nay, but you are a people that are being tested. And then were in the city 9 men from the sons of their chiefs who made mischief in the land and would not reform. And they said, swear one to another by Allah that we shall make a secret night attack on him and his household. And afterward we will surely say to his near relatives, we witnessed not the destruction of his household. And verily, we are telling the truth. So they plotted a plot and we planned a plan, while they perceived not. Then see how was the end of their plot. Verily, we destroyed them and their nation altogether. These are their houses in utter ruin, for they did wrong. Verily, in this indeed is an ayah, a lesson, a sign for people who know. And we saved those who believed and those who used to fear and obey Allah. So that is where we will pause our reading for today. What I gained out of this reading. I gained quite a bit out of this reading, actually. And there were some things mentioned here that are very prevalent and very important themes within the Holy Quran as well. What did I highlight, though? Let's see. Oh, so in the start, in the beginning part, when we were just going into it, and these people held Saleh alayhi salam in very high esteem. They were like, Saleh alayhi salam is very respected, so much so that he was actually to be the chief of their tribe. Yet he went away from what their forefathers used to do, which was so new to them. And that was one of the basis of their disbelief. And you see this prevalent over and over again, and it really gets me to question even ourselves. Like in this time, there are so many random traditions and so many random closely held values that have nothing to do with Islam. Especially, I don't know about other cultures or other countries. I love my culture and I love my country. There are some very beautiful things in it, but there are some things that are so harmful in it. And if I don't speak against them, it's like I'm being quiet when there's oppression happening. But there are so many things within our culture that are not a part of religion. Yet people disguise themselves in the context of religion and carry out all these things. And then sometimes it's not even like that. Sometimes people know that this is not a religion thing. It's a cultural thing. But then it actually clashes against the religion thing. Like there's actual racism. Like people think of each other as lower than one another. Every tribe or every nation within like Pakistan thinks they're better than the other. Like that's what it seems like to me. And all of that is like strictly against the Quran. You know, and if you, if you don't follow it, you're being a sinner. But if you outright disobey it and outright say that, no, this is not my belief, this is, that you're actually rejecting a belief in the Quran. So what does that make you? But essentially, people do all this, you know, based on their color, based on their tribe, based on their ethnicities, based on their language. it's okay. I mean, having a unique identity is not what I'm saying. Like, being proud within of yourself, of your culture, is not what I'm saying. But being arrogant in it or thinking of another one as lower than yours, that is against the teaching of the Holy Quran. That is against the teaching of Islam. And this is just one very general thing that I'm talking about. There's so many other things in our society that happen right now too. And then when you ask them, and I had this problem even within, like, you know, my own family. Like, when you ask them, the best excuse is, this is what our ancestors used to do. This is what our forefathers used to do. And if you go into the Holy Quran, that's what it says everywhere. You know, when these prophets came to these people and they're speaking to them and they're talking to them, one of the biggest answers they had is that this is what our forefathers used to do. This is what those people used to do. So just because, you know, in another time, in another context, people did something to help their tribe and the way that the system used to work to survive, and they had all these rules and laws, does not mean that they're applicable now, especially if they're in contrast with Islam. Not contrast, sorry, in conflict with Islamic values. And this brings in so much, like, random, like, egoism, pride, vanity, corruption, like, killings, fights for, like, the stupidest reasons. And so, yeah, I just wanted to comment on that. That if that's what your forefathers used to do, that's what the forefathers of the nation of Thamud, the nation of Ad, all these nations used to do as well. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made an example out of them for us. So, yeah. Another thing. SubhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they plotted a plot, but we planned a plan while they perceived not. So it's funny that the English translation and also, like, rhymes in somewhat of a poetic form, but yeah, that's what it is, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of planners. People plot and people scheme and people do all these things, but people only see to the extent of what their eyes let them. And our eyes only let us see what the extent of, like, wherever the next wall is. We can't see beyond that. We can't even see beyond, like, this, whatever is in around our perception. We are such an unstable form of being that every single day we might change our perceptives, our ideologies, who we are, based on something new that we learn. That's human beings. That's their fallacy. That's their weakness. One time I was going down a mountain. I was hiking down a mountain, not just going down a mountain, with a friend of mine. And I got down, like, quicker than he did. And while I was looking up and he was coming down, I noticed that the way that he's coming down, there is, like, a very steep drop. If he were to step, like, a couple more steps, he would have just dropped in, like, down a mudslide. And so I'm warning him and I'm like, hey, don't go that way. Go this way. Go this way. Go this way. Go left and stuff. But at the same time, I'm, like, perceiving this, and I'm like, from his direction, from his point of view, he just sees the forest around him. He just sees what's in front of him, and what's in front of him is totally fine. He can't see it. It's hidden, that drop. From my perspective, I see a bigger version of the mountain, right? And so I'm able to perceive. I'm able to know what's best for him, but also, like, in terms of, like, hatching a plan or anything like that, I know more because I see more. But even I am so limited. Then imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our knowledge. Our knowledge of who we are, everything is so limited. And then imagine something that does not have any limits. There's no limits to it. Unlimited, infinite knowledge, power, wisdom, and stuff. So then you can plan all you want. You know, you can, whatever your ability you have, you can try to hurt other people, or you can try to have power over people, but know that there is no power. You do not have any power. Your only power for you is just a concept. True power is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if He wishes, in an instant, He can change that around. And that does happen. And you know, the people that happens for in the world are fortunate. But the people that doesn't happen for in the world, and they carry out oppression, they carry out these atrocities, but they don't get the reward of it here, then it's much, much worse for them in the next life. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being just you know. So let's end it there. Interesting thoughts. And inshallah, we'll finish the story of Salih alayhi salam in the next session. I haven't decided yet if it's going to be Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or Monday and Friday. I'm going to do a poll on it. Just to see people, what people think. And then, so depending on that, we'll do the next. And the next story after this is actually going to be the story of a very big one too, of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And then Ismail alayhi salam, Ishaq alayhi salam, and Yaqub alayhi salam. It's all conversed into one chapter. So inshallah, we'll see you then.